Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 24, and it's the 9th of May 2014. And I am titling this episode, Things Are Getting Busy. Reason for that is now we're into May, the gardens really take off. I'm sure you're aware anyway. Things like sowing the seeds is almost a daily task. Weeding is almost a daily task. Mowing a lawn has to be done a couple of times a week. The only good thing is you get the occasional shower, which helps with the watering, I guess. That's the only saving grace. Today's one is going to be basically updates. I've got plenty to talk about. So with that, I'm going to talk about the allotment. Now, up the allotment, things are really moving on. I'm really quite happy with how things are going there. I've been doing lots of weeding. The beds, basically, with the hoe, where there's bare patches and on my hands and knees, picking up weeds anywhere else. And the top of the plot, where the perennials are, I've got on my hands and knees and lifted loads and loads of weeds out. I mean, bucketfuls of weeds. It's been good, really good. And it's looking so much better. I'm really pleased with it. It made so much easier with the wood chips in the paths now. That's sort of done half of what I thought I was going to do. Probably three quarters of all the weeding I thought I had to do. So that saved a massive job. There's still some smaller weeds that I've still got to pull out, but they're going to grow anyway, so it's just a constant upkeep. But upkeep is easier than nothing else. Underneath the cider apple tree, I was given some alpine strawberry plants, so I've planted those under there. And I'm hoping they'll just sort of rampant underneath and create like a mulch underneath. Which would be really nice, I think, and productive. Keep the weeds at bay, as well as gain more fruit. Now a lot of these perennials and things are starting to really spring into life. The grapevines are growing well, really springing into life. The Josterberry has even got berries on it, as has one of the currant bushes, probably a red currant bush, I think. And I'm hoping the gooseberries will produce as well soon. Down at the bottom bed, I think that was bed one. If I remember right, I'm going to really go through that and draw a map out and name them properly for you guys. But that bed I've now filled with compost from the compost bins. The old compost bins, that is. And that bed is now really ready for planting. So that's really good. I've just got to keep the hoe running through it just to keep on top of any weeds. But yeah, I'm really, really pleased with that. The compost bins, as I said earlier, are now completely empty. These are the old ones, and dismantled and taken down, ready to make that into a sort of seating area. We've got a lot of work to do there. We've got to find something that can be used as sort of barriers, and we're thinking doors of something. So I'll be keeping my eye out for those. The old compost bins. The old compost has been used up after sieving, and what hasn't broken down has gone into the newer compost bins. I've actually taken the first compost bin that was full and everything was breaking down, easily open crate ones anyway, and I've tossed it, I've turned it all into the second one. And that is just to mix it up and get things in the centre to break it down. I'm going to cover it in some cardboard and some wood chip on the top, and probably plant some pumpkins or something in it. Which basically now means that the third one, the end, needs to be completed soon. And I'm going to use a larger palette on it so I can make it like a slope with a sieve on it out of some chicken wire, saying. So when I empty the second one, I can sieve it straight into there. And then we can use that third one just for storing compost, ready to use on the plots. Nice, easy system. The two black bins are actually full of weeds and compostable materials, so it just goes to show how quickly that they fill up. But they'll break down quite quickly as well. Being black, they break down a lot quicker as they attract the sun's heat. All of which I can't complain about. Been doing more trips to the wood chip place and collecting more and more wood chip and scouting that around over. It's really looking a lot better. It's amazing how the difference that makes. I've also taken up there one of the pots of saffron bulbs I had growing in from the garden, and a blackberry plant that I purchased. Now, after hacking all the blackberries down, I kind of wanted some blackberries. They're a useful plant. You know, they have their faults, of course, but, you know, I wanted some. And I could have probably grown some from what we cut down, but I don't know what was what. So I just thought, you know, I'm going to have these blackberries that I know what they are. And that's just in a pot. I'll probably take more cuttings to propagate more. Along with some other things I'm planning on planting, which I'm just going to sort of use as like a hedge, edible hedge along the side, if you like. Now, nettles are just grown rampantly, but that, although I've got to keep on top of them, they have so many uses. First off, when you cut them down and throw them on the compost heap, they're really good for getting the compost heap working. And so I've been doing that, taking a bag full home and pot them for some to make some compost feed, but more on that later. And of course, there's some in the one of the water butts to make compost, make a nettle feed up the allotment. But something else I've been experimenting is actually making cordage from nettles. It's a bit of a bushcraft hack, this one. Being that it's young nettles, it's not the right type. You really want older, but it does the job. And you can use it just for tying things. Basically, what you do, you cut a length of nettle down and you remove the leaves, which I recommend you have gloves. And then you then sort of squeeze or hammer around all the way down the stem to break it, and then you remove the pulpy inner core. Normally you get about 4 lengths of. Okay, so at home, lots and lots have been happening. Now I just spoke about nettles at the allotment. As I said, I took a carrier bag full of these home, pot them in the home compost, sorry, not compost, fertiliser maker I purchased at back end of last year. They've just got like a little cage in there. You fill it up with water and put the cage in with a lid, and every day you just pump the lid basically. And in about 2 weeks, it probably makes some good nettle feed, so that'll be next week. Obviously, been keeping on top of mowing the lawn. Weeding I haven't had to do on the main veg patch because of the black membrane. It's just nothing's growing through it. It's brilliant. But what I have done is planted out my tomatoes, my chilies, my peppers, my aubergines, my cucumbers there. That bed is now full, completely full. I haven't got room for anything else in there, which I'm really, really pleased about because it's quite early, so they should be growing on really well. They are growing on quite well. I'm lucky, as I said, this far south, I can do things a bit earlier. We are fairly warm. I mean, we've got a bit of a microclimate in Worthing, whereas our neighbours grow palm trees and things like that. So we are a bit warmer. And actually, I really notice a difference between here and the allotments. The allotment's not ready to grow tomatoes yet. But that's just what you learn from living out, learn from your own gardens. I've even put some tomato plant in a hanging basket, along with a geranium and some sweet peas and some dill. And they are growing quite happily as well. Repotted on the peach tree into a bigger pot. And I've noticed, I'm really pleased with this, there's some small fruitlets growing. So that's really pleased me. I've just mulched these with some of the stone chips I had left over, which I've also used on the olive tree and the bay tree as well, and they're just helping keep the weeds at bay again, and they actually look really nice. And I don't know if you're noticing a theme, but I'm really talking about the mulching of and stopping weeds, and it really does work. It's not surprising, really, because it should work. Everything is there in place for it to work. It stops light getting through, therefore plants can't grow. I've been thinning out the radishes in the salad box. Now, these radishes and lettuces are really growing really well, and the spring onions have germinated well as well. But the radishes, I've been thinning those out, and the thinnings I've actually been eating as well. They're a bit thin to call them a proper radish sort of thing, but chop the top and tail them, give them a good clean up, and they just go in a salad or something, and they're edible. Now the rest of the salads should hopefully grow, and by thinning the radishes, gives them more space to swell. So that means that the ones left grow bigger, which can only be a good bonus. As for seeds I've been sowing, there's been more courgettes and more beans. I've decided now I'm just going to concentrate on the beans and peas. I don't think I need more of the salad-y stuff. So, yeah. One more thing, just before I wrap up today. Something I've been watching, I'm sure you've all seen, and that's the Big Allotment Challenge on BBC Two. I haven't mentioned this yet, but we're about 3 weeks into it, and it's about halfway, and I'm just thought I want to talk about my views on the whole program so far. Now, first of all, I think it's brilliant to see a sort of allotments on TV. In a way, it's a bit like the Great British Bake Off. It's making it fun, making it a challenge, and actually showing what goes on these things. So, and how good these things look when they're from start to finish in the course of a few months. I believe the only way I can work out that this series was done was it was recorded last year. And there's different challenges. Now you've got the grow challenge where they have to show what the vegetable that they've grown. And then there'll be the flowers challenge, where they have to show a specimen flower and make a bouquet or whatever. And then the third challenge of the eat, which is where they make some sort of preserve or something using the food. And I have to admit, overall, I'm impressed, but it's a bit like a village fair in what they're doing, which is obviously what they set out to do. For me, the score of growing good food is how it tastes. And I must say, they do have the yeet challenge at the end, but it's more pickles or preserves. And the grow challenge, where they look at whatever they've grown in vegetable sense, is based upon how it looks or how it snaps and not what it tastes like. So that's my only real gripe with the show. Apart from that, I'm actually really enjoying it. I personally wouldn't go on the show, not because of anything against it, but because of the fact that I don't have the time with work and my own allotment and kitchen garden to dedicate to another allotment as well. So yeah, for me, it's not worth entering, but I do know that they were searching a few months back for more people, so it might be next year they're looking for more, depending on the success. So with that, I'm going to start wrapping up today. I'm nearly at 20 minutes. I'd like to keep my podcast between 15 and 20 minutes, which at the moment is going to be quite easily done with just so much to do. So yeah, with that, my name's Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. Please do go visit the website. That's thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. And with that, thanks for listening. Cheers. Bye.